We're doing Mishnah. I'm reading with the ancient traditional tune. We're up to what they call the 13th chapter, the 12th pasuk. Tochelet memushacha, machala lev, tochelet. What is tochelet? Lehachil, to wait, to anticipate. Tochelet memushacha, an extended anticipation, machala lev. The word machala is like holy. It brings a illness of the heart. What do they call that? Heartbreak. A prolonged wait breeds heartache. Machala lev. It's like an illness to the heart. And here, one understanding is that if you're just waiting for something, ask any person who's waiting to get married, he's waiting to get engaged, he's waiting to find the right one, he's waiting to do his conversion. So that brings a lot of heartache. Ve'etz chayim ta'ava'a. But when his desire comes, so ta'ava, his desire, va'a, when it comes, that is etz chayim, it's like the tree of life. So, that's a simple reading of the pasuk. That wait, that anticipation is very difficult. But when you finally get what you've been waiting for, so that's like the tree of life. Okay. One practical application is with regards to our children. Sometimes parents make promises to their children, to their spouse. To the spouse, it's easier. But to kids wait and anticipate and hope. And sometimes it's better not to tell them in advance. It's interesting. With adults, the anticipation is more positive. If you can surprise your parents or tell your parents, I'm coming in a month, it's better to tell them you're coming. Because they know the date, they know the plan, and then they just look forward to it. My mother-in-law taught me this. I was going to surprise my parents, fly into Chicago, and surprise them. And I thought they'd be so happy. And my mother-in-law said, no, tell them you're coming, because that knowledge that in 3 weeks, and 2 weeks, and 1 week, and 2 days, our son is coming, that gives him much more. So with adults, we can handle that. But with children, children have a hard time gauging time. We have one of our kids has this bad habit, little one, it's a minor, that he gets up before everyone else, doesn't goes and steals whatever nash, whatever sweets he can find. So one day I asked him, did you take sweets without permission this morning? And I see him standing there looking at me dumbfounded. And only after about 10 seconds I realized he doesn't know when this morning started. So in his mind, he's not sure, am I talking about yesterday, the day before? I say this morning, he's looking at time by them. It's like, our kids once asked us why we celebrate Shabbos 3 times. So we didn't understand. They said last Shabbos. What they meant was you have Shabbos Friday night. Then you go to sleep, and then you get up again, you have Shabbos day, and then you take a nap, and then you get up again. So in their mind, that's 3 days. So you have 3 days Shabbos, right? So for children, time is not so defined. And tochelet memushacha, a prolonged wait of anticipation, machala lev. So that's why it's sometimes better for children if you don't tell them what's in store. Because sometimes that hope is just a... To them, it's more difficult than it is for an adult. That's why kids always ask, are we there yet? You tell them it's a half hour. But are we there yet? I told you it's a half hour, so how about now? They don't have a gauge of time, so the wait is much more difficult. Where is this pasuk most relevant? When you don't know where the end is. Whenever we have a challenge in life, if a person that doesn't have children knows that in the end they'll have children, so they can wait. If a person that's single knows and then they'll get married, they can wait. The difficulty is when you're waiting and you don't know if it'll work out or not. So there, the wait is a terrible pain. But when you finally get what you've been waiting for, that's Eitz Chaim. So that's the simple reading of the Pasuk. Our sages say that the Pasuk is talking about God and the Jewish people. Tochelet memushacha. A prolonged wait that God waits for the Jewish people. He keeps waiting for us to do tshuva. And if we don't, then that wait brings to machala lev, to a great heartache. But if we do, if tava ba'ah, if we finally do live up to God's desire, so then that's Eitz Chaim that brings us to the tree of life, that gives us a future. So that's what our sages said the Pasuk is referring to. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Baz ledavar yechavel lo. Baz, he who scorns ledavar, something. If you scorn something, then yechavel lo. Then a person is most apt to get wounded by it. People learn how to drive, and you tell them when you go reverse, you have to look back. And sometimes people scorn it, and then they run into poles, and they do things that are very dangerous. Baz ledavar, whenever a person is willing to scorn something, yechavel lo. So what he's in fact doing is he's creating a stumbling block for himself, something to wound himself. I remember a moel that came to check the baby, and the baby's mother and grandmother, they all said the baby's not ready for a circumcision. And they said, what do women know? And he took the baby and said, everything's fine. And that baby almost died. And the mother and grandmother, they kept telling him, you know, we don't think the baby's ready. And he kept saying, what do women know? I'm the moel here. Baz ledavar, when you scorn something, so then you've created a blind spot. Yechavelo. So then a person is more apt to be wounded by it. Virei mitzvah hu yeshulam. And a person who has awe, has respect of the mitzvah, he will get wages. And here the pasuk is revealing to us what the pasuk's really talking about. It's talking about mitzvot. Baz ledavar. When a person scorns a mitzvah, that's not so important. Yechavelo. So then that wounds him. Every mitzvah is important. There's no word of Torah that's irrelevant. It's all relevant. We said in the tshuva process, we do things gradually, but they're still all important. They are all important. Baz ledavar yechavelo. Virei mitzvah, when a person has awe of the mitzvos, he respects, he knows every one of them is important, so then hu yeshulam, he will ultimately get wages for all of that. Our sages say that this pasuk is talking about King David, Shlomo's father. That King David was walking around and he saw people who were insane. And he said, God, why did you create these people? These people, they lack intellect. Why'd you create them? And God said, you'll still see that you will pray for insanity. You'll see that insanity is also a blessing, that it's an escape. Sometimes it's necessary in the world. And then down the road, King David was captured by a Philistine king, Achish, the king of Gath. And when he entered, also known as Avimelech, right, in our prayer on Shabbos, also in Tehillim. So King David prayed for insanity. And there in the prison, he started having his saliva run down his beard. He started banging on the walls. He started acting totally insane to the point where the guards said, this isn't David, he's crazy. And they took him out and he ran back into the jail. No, you don't. I'm not leaving. Right? Ran into the jail and hang clung onto the bars and said, you're not kicking me out of here. Right? And they tried to fling him out and he'd run back in. And finally, thanks to that, thanks to the fact that he was able to act insane, he was kicked out and then he regained his sanity. So our sages say it's not only talking about Torah, it's talking about everything God does in the world. There's a midrash I never saw inside. I heard, but I never saw it written anywhere. The midrash says that King David asked why we have spider webs. You guys know this midrash? It's famous, but I don't know where it's written. They say that when he was running away from King Saul. So King Saul wanted him dead, and he ran into a cave, and a spider came and made a big web across the cave. And then when King Saul and his men came, they saw this web across the cave. They said, obviously he didn't go in there. Look at that big web. He would have had to break it to enter the cave. And that's what saved him. So again, I don't know where it says this story, but I heard it as a kid many times. Okay, back to Mishlei. Pasuk Yud Dalet. Torat Chacham Mekor Chayim. The Torah of one who is wise is a source of life. It teaches him to avoid stumbling blocks that can lead to death. There are dangers in life, and sometimes people don't take those dangers seriously. But if a person has Torat Chacham, the Torah of a wise person, that's a source of life. So it teaches a person to avoid things that would bring death. So simple reading is, in general, learn from a wise person. Our sages said it's talking about the Torah. The Torah teaches us to avoid stumbling blocks of death. It was my first Shabbos as rabbi in Kochav Yaakov. And I was invited to a Kiddush. And at the Kiddush, a woman comes over and introduces herself. And she says, I'm Mrs. So-and-so. My husband couldn't come to the Kiddush because he's home with our daughter who's ill. So I'm new to town. I want to be polite. So I asked, what happened to your daughter? So they tell me the daughter was in the hospital Friday afternoon. And they released her, but they're Olim Chadashim. They're not sure they knew how to read the release notes, and they're not exactly sure they understood why she was being released, etc. So I said, so you're sure she's supposed to be home now? She said, actually, I'm not sure. Just, she started having a fever this morning. That's why my husband's home with her. He's not here, and I am here. So now I, you ask a question, now you got to follow through. So I said, where do you live? They said, we're your neighbors. We live right next to you. So I said, fine, so why don't we go to your house and I'll look at the medical papers and we'll see what's really going on here. So we leave the Kiddush, I go to their house, and I see the papers, and it's not so clear to me that the girl belongs at home. Maybe she should be at the hospital. Now she's running a fever. So I said to them, I think that we should call her doctor. So they said, you're the rabbi. You're telling us to make a phone call on Shabbos? I said, no, if you're uncomfortable, I'll make the phone call on Shabbos. But we have to check, because now that she's running a fever, it's very possible she belongs back in the hospital. And the doctor wouldn't answer us. The doctor said, if you have questions, go to the hospital. I don't diagnose by phone. I said, I just want to know if over this type of fever, etc. He said, I'm not answering by phone. So I said to them, and I remember, I'm standing there thinking, this is my first Shabbos here. I don't know anyone, and I'm going to tell them to desecrate Shabbos over something that seems minimal. I stood there and I thought for a minute, and I said, but I think the halacha is they have to go to the hospital. We're not sure. Her life might be in danger. I don't know. The doctor's not answering me. It doesn't feel so good to tell people to desecrate Shabbos, get into a car and drive to a hospital. But and the kids, now the kid's under influence from the drugs the kid's taking, and now the kid does not have a fever. And it's already Shabbos at 10 o'clock. You tell yourself till 5 o'clock tonight, what's going to happen? And the kid doesn't have a fever right now because they did take an Akamol. So who said maybe the fever's gone? But we don't know, right? So I stood there and I said, I really think the halacha is you have to go to the hospital now. And I stood there kicking myself. I said, I'm ruining their whole family's Shabbos. They're going to go to the hospital. They won't have a Shabbos. But I think that's what the halacha says. Now, if you'd ask me as a gambling man, I'm not sure I would gamble that they have to go to the hospital. Because, no, it's a real pain. And the kid seems okay now. Let's see what happens when the Akamol wears off, right? But I worked with the system. I said, what does the halacha say they have to do now? The halacha says we're not sure if the kid's in danger or not. So the halacha says they have to go to the hospital. So they stood there and they said, Rabbi, if it was a weekday, we're not sure we would go. So then you're really feeling guilty. I said, well, if it was a weekday, you should go. I don't know if you would or wouldn't, but you should. Because you're not sure if the kid needs it or not. That's called Safek Pikuach Nefesh. And I'm telling you, as I was saying this, I was feeling very, very bad. I'm telling you the story. I was feeling I'm ruining their Shabbos. And it's my first Shabbos here. It's not exactly what I want to do, right? But that's the system. I'm not working with my ideas. It's Torat Chacham. It's the Torah of the wise man. It's the Torah of our sages. I wasn't going based on my logic. My logic, I don't know what I would say. I was going based on what I thought the halacha told us to do. And so they got into a car and they drove to the hospital on Shabbos, and it saved the girl's life. When she got to the hospital, they said that she was really in danger and she really needed the hospital care. She was in the hospital for a week. Now, again, when I was standing there, if I would have used my wisdom, I don't know what I would have said. I might have said, look, if in a weekday you wouldn't have driven, so maybe you shouldn't drive now. So wait and see when the aspirin wears off, how she's feeling, right? I might have said that. I don't know what I would have said. But I wasn't working with my thoughts. I was working with Torat Chacham, the Torah of the wise man. God gave us a Torah. Our sages gave us a Torah. I'm working with the system. System says you're in doubt. Someone's life might be in danger. You sort of got to go. So, lasur mimok shemavet. That keeps a person from stumbling blocks of death. So that's Pasuk Yud Dalet. You guys have it? Pasuk Tetvav? Sechel Tov Yiten Chen. A good mind causes a person to find favor in the eyes of others. V'derech Bogedim Eitan. And when people are rebellious, so they are very powerful. And it's almost impossible to convince them. So even though Sechel Tov Yiten Chen, a person has good intellect, he finds favor in the eyes of others, he has charm, but that doesn't mean he'll be able to convince other people. And you guys probably encountered this in your tshuva process, where you tried talking to other people and they said, no way, I'm going my way, you go your way. What you're saying makes sense, that's not good enough. Tov, we'll do one more pasuk. Kol arum yaseh vedat. Uchsil yifros ivelet kol arum. When a person has cunning, so then yaase bedat, he does things in a way that's thought out. And even though sometimes you look at him and you don't understand what he's doing, but he's thought it out and that's how he works. But the ksil, the fool, yifros ivelet, he spreads out his foolishness. He lets everyone see how foolish he is. So, very often we undertake things, or we try to take a person who's doing a haircut. Okay, seems simple, but when you walk in the middle of the haircut, it looks funny. What are you doing to this guy? Mm-hmm. Right, I'm in the middle, but I've thought it out. You're building, so you dig and you lay foundations. So the beginning doesn't seem to be like you're building anything. You're just breaking the stone. You're breaking so you could lay foundations. You're plowing. Didn't you say you want to build upward? Yeah. Kol arum, someone who has cunning, someone who has a plan, yaseh vedat. He does things intelligently. And even though at first glance you don't understand the intelligence in it. Uchsil yifros ivelet. That's, if you guys are wondering what that is, that's almost definitely fireworks from the hotel back here. Okay.